How many of you here do not like the process but love the end result? It's all of us, right? We don't like the process.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Last time here on In Christ, we saw the foundation laid, some rejoicing, others weeping, as God began to fulfill His promise in a way that didn't meet everyone's expectations. We continue in the Building Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. And today we move forward into Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, with a message titled, Opposition and Compromise. As the work begins, opposition quickly follows. People from surrounding areas approach with an offer. Let us help you build. On the surface, it sounds like support, but their hearts are divided. The leaders of Israel recognize this and refuse the partnership. What follows is resistance, discouragement, and pressure. The work of God doesn't just face opposition from the outside. It's often tested by subtle compromise from within. Not every open door is from God. Sometimes faithfulness means saying no to what looks helpful in order to protect what God has called you to build. So are there areas in your life where compromise is quickly or quietly creeping in, disguised as something good, but pulling you away from what God has clearly called you to do? Let's join Pastor Ben in the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, with the lesson titled, Opposition and Compromise. Here's Pastor Ben.
We're continuing our verse-by-verse study in Ezra chapter 4. And once you get to Ezra chapter 4, put a little marker there and then find your way to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now remember, Ezra is a little bit hard to find, so if you split your Bible in half and make a left, you'll go backwards a little bit. It's right after 2 Chronicles and then right before Nehemiah. And then 1 Kings, if you'll just keep going to the left, you'll run into the Kings. So it's 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and then you'll have Ezra. So Ezra chapter 4 and 1 Kings 11. 11. 1 Kings 11. That's where we're going to be a little bit tonight. As you know, we've started this series. We're calling it our series. It's the book of Ezra, but we're calling it Foundations. We know that Ezra could say that the people went home to build the temple foundation, but God's going to build in them His foundation. And we need to remember that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that's where the foundation needs to come. And so tonight is just the beautiful story of really the gospel and the redemption and the return from captivity to freedom. And of course, tonight we're going to learn that it's not without its challenges. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Just remember, the main theme really of the book of Ezra is God keeps His promises. And I think it's important for us just to remember that, God, You keep Your promises, and we trust You and we love You. If you're taking notes and you hadn't jotted this down somewhere, the key verse for all of Ezra is Ezra chapter 9:9. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, Ezra writes, but He extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair us in the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. That is the key verse that we want to memorize, we want to put somewhere. That's just a great way to study. Now, tonight, we're only going to look at five verses, believe it or not, but we're going to just really dig deep and just see what God has for us. Can I get a good amen? Amen. I want to start our Bible study out with this rather powerful statement, if you will, and it's life is full of opposition. Life is full of opposition. And when you think about this, the most important question is not, will we face opposition? Rather, the most important question is, how will we overcome the opposition we face. When thinking about opposition and thinking about how we will overcome these things, it reminds me of a story that I'd like to share with you. They were three men who were hiking in the wilderness, and when they came upon this large, raging river. Well, we know that they needed to get to the other side, but they didn't know how to do it. So the first man grabs his hands together and he prays and he says, "God, give me strength to cross the river." And poof, God gave him big arms, strong legs, and he swam across the raging river. And it took him an hour, but he made it. The second man decided to pray as well, "God, give me strength, but give me the tools to cross this river." Poof! God gave him a rowboat, and he rowed across that raging river, and it took him 45 minutes, but he made it. Seeing this, the third man prayed, "God, give me strength, give me the tools, and give me wisdom to cross this river." And poof, God gave him wisdom. The man took out a mat, examined it, hiked upstream about 1,000 yards, and walked across on the bridge. And it took him about 15 minutes. Listen, church, it would be nice if everything in life was easy, wouldn't it? You're like, "Well, yeah, that would be nice." It would be nice if there were only downhills with no uphills. You remember your parents used to tell you they walked to school uphill both ways in the snow with no shoes. That's how they used to tell us. It would be nice if there were only mountaintops and no valleys. And to that, I said, amen. And it would be nice if there were only roses, but no thorns. But that's not the way things work in this world and where we live. Life is filled with its challenges, its obstacles, and its opposition. When we make it our goal to really serve the Lord and to accomplish his purposes, we can expect that we will face obstacles and opposition. Let me say that again. When you make it your goal, when you get serious with the Lord, "I'm going to serve you, Lord." You remember, our fellowship is born to love and serve people, to love and serve people. And when we decide to do that, when we decide we're going to accomplish his purposes, we can expect that we will face obstacles and oppositions. I noticed nobody amen that. That's not where we amen. When there's a great point, it was like, "Amen, yeah," but it's like, wait, hold on. Here's why. Because you and I, we can expect Satan, our enemy, and all those who work on his side will do all they can to derail our progress and bring it to a halt. Now, let's chat for just a moment. We should never be surprised when we experience opposition as we endeavor to walk by faith. I want you to write that down. I want you to see what I'm saying. I don't want any of us to be surprised. We should go, "Whoa, wait a minute. I'm serving the Lord. How come this is happening to me?" Jesus told us what was going to happen. In John 16:33, it says, "In this world, we will have troubles." We will have troubles. Add to this the fact that we have an adversary who opposes all good plans that the Lord has for us. Think about what Paul wrote. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live godly or live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be," what? "Persecuted." Suffer persecution. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." Oh, what is Peter saying? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Wait. No. He says, "Guys, don't be surprised." Peter also wrote to us in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith." You guys see that? Unfortunately, as much as we would prefer otherwise, we have an enemy, an adversary. whose sole intent is to oppose anything the Lord has to accomplish for us at the cross, and who will try to prevent us from accessing the promised blessings of God. There are many reasons why this is, but primarily, think about this, it's because the devil knows that his time is short and is doing everything he can to delay his eventual demise. He knows it, and he's going to do everything to oppose the work. So our adversary, who? The devil. Our adversary, who? His minions, if you will, as well as, if you will, natural circumstances and situations, well, they all conspire together against you and I, against people of God, and the purpose is to hinder, listen to me, hinder, and if possible, prevent you from walking in the blessings of all that God has for you, to prevent you from walking in health, to prevent you from walking in healing, to prevent you from the supply and the provision and the deliverance and the safety that God promises through his word. All of this we know Jesus had purchased on the cross. They're all ours to take. And as we begin to walk and say, Lord, these are mine. These are my promises. Your word is true. You always keep your promise. Here comes the opposition. The opposition. You and I have faced opposition. You and I have faced the spiritual attacks to try to get us off track, to try to give up, shelve our walk, be done. We've all faced them. We've all faced them. And so God has made it clear in his word. You go, what's that? That the Christian life is going to be full of obstacles and opposition. You know what I say to that? Amen. Amen. And you go, why? Well, think about this. God in his word, in the book of Ezra, chapter 4, it should not surprise us that the lesson we're going to learn is found here in these first five verses. The Jewish pilgrims have come back to Jerusalem. Remember, they were in captivity, and what did they come back for? They came back to rebuild the temple. That was their sole purpose. They came back to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. And we find out today, jot this down, they're going to face opposition. They're going to face opposition. Think about this. Last week, in chapter 3, everything was awesome. You go, wait a minute, what do you mean awesome? Well, remember, it was that excitement of coming home, although the temple was busted, although everything was in ruins. We talked about how we just like, man, but it was home. It was home. And I just thank God that when we get to go home, it's not going to be in ruins. Heaven is waiting for us. I'm loving that part. But I know right now they're coming back and they're excited. And although it was disappointing to come back to the ruins of the temple and the wall, there was great fulfillment of what God was about to do. How many of you here do not like the process but love the end result? It's all of us, right? We don't like the process. I'll never forget when we first got into this building, we had all of these old, probably made in 1950. They were 1950 up here, like the ceiling tiles. And we were about to, Monday morning, the carpet guy calls, we'll be there Monday. And I said, cool. And so we had a group of guys come in while we were at the other church and take down all of these because we were replacing them anyway. I got to tell you, we did not know there was probably 30 years of dust on those things. And as they took them down, this, before the carpet, everything in this was, it was like a tornado. It was like a haboob in here. And we walked in, and it's Sunday afternoon, and it's just like, oh my. And so we had blowers. We were trying, the carpet guys were coming the next day. This is when you had a mask on and you had a bandana and you're sweeping and you're trying to get the dirt out and you go home and you're still full of, you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a little, I'm talking a lot. And my heart sank when I realized this. The process was horrible, but look at the end result. When it was clean and the carpet people came in here, we laid down the chairs, it's like, ah. But I didn't want to go through the process. It's kind of the same things. You and I, well, sometimes if we're being honest in church, our lives are a lot like Jerusalem, the city Jerusalem. And you go, Ben, how so? How so? Well, there are times in our lives, if we're being honest, that we have made some choices that have not been good ones. We have made decisions that we have not been good decisions. And these choices often devastate our lives. Walls are broken. Foundations are busted. And you and I, we feel like we're alone, ready just to pick up the pieces. And then God steps in and he renews our heart. He renews our heart. He's the only one, and I want you to think about this, who can fill our hearts with great fulfillment. Fulfillment. Let's feel the weight, because there is no one perfect. And a lot of us at times are afraid to make a decision because we're afraid what the consequences of that decision would be. And some of us throughout our lives, guys, have made very, very bad choices. And we've broken down the walls of our very foundation. Whether it was you with an early boyfriend and saying yes to him, thinking he was the one, and you gave your virginity over to this young man and he broke your heart and it was a bad choice and now he's left you. Whatever decision it might be, maybe it was an early, I think this is the guy, I think this is the gal for me, and it wasn't the gal for you, and it ended up in divorce, and it hurt, and it broke, and we made a bad decision, and our foundations, whatever it might be, whatever choice it might be, you need to know that God has stepped in, and he's renewing your hearts. He's renewing your hearts. He's the only one that can fill our hearts with great fulfillment. Let me illustrate it like this. For the most part, you know the story. I'm not going to take you there. I'll give you some verses. But think about this, the woman at the well. Do you guys remember this woman at the well? You guys know her in John chapter 4? Think about this. Here, Jesus tells his disciples, hey, guys, we're not going to go up to that yet. We're not going to go up there yet. Let me tell the story. So he goes, hey, guys, we're going to Samaria. Let's go to Samaria. And they're like, no, Jesus, no. I don't want to go to Samaria. I don't like Samaritans. Last time we went to Samaria, we got in a big old rumble and everybody got their nose bloodied. And Jesus, we're just not going to go there. And Jesus says, no, I have an appointment. Let's go. And the disciples looked at him and said, Jesus, we'll buy you a burrito if we'll just go the other way. Just we'll go to All Subs. We'll get you a burrito. You'll be great. Let's go. And Jesus said, no, I've got an appointment. All of you are wondering what version I'm talking about. It's my version. And so Jesus goes up to Samaria. He sends the boys to get some food. They have no problem. You guys understand, they have a problem, but they're Jews. So they're going to go in and they're going to be like, hey, we got the bigger high school. We're going into Samaria. So they go off. We find a woman at the well. Now you need to understand, this well was not close to the town. This well was way in the outskirts. She made it her business to go not early morning when it was cool. She went in the middle of the day when it was hot by herself to the farthest well she could find. Why? Because of the choices that she had made in life. Can we be honest in church? Many times we are our own worst critic. Whatever you want to call it, we don't need somebody to judge us. We're constantly judging ourselves. And I want you to put yourself in the woman's sandals, because she doesn't have any friends. Okay? If it was 2025, many of her friends would have unfriended her from Facebook. You guys know that. I mean, it was just a social out. She's just a woman of ill repute. There she goes. And so Jesus comes in, he starts a conversation, and do you remember what he told her? He told her something that blows my mind. Jesus having a conversation, he's there alone. She's like, what did Jews have to do with Samaritans? Blah, blah, blah. And here's what Jesus tells her. I want you to feel the weight of this. Jesus says, hey, I want you to go call your husband. Do you guys remember that? He's having a dialogue. He's having a conversation. He goes, hey, go call your husband. Now, I want you to think about this. If Jesus had an appointment in Samaria, okay, if Jesus had an appointment in Samaria for this woman, this was not the way to get a convert. This wasn't a way. You go, whoa, whoa, what do you mean? She's so tender, she's so broken, that for Jesus to say, hey, go call your husband, think about this. He's touching the very tender, hurting heart. We don't do that in evangelism. That's not how you win people to Jesus. I'll tell you what, come to church and we're going to talk about all the bad choices you made, and then nobody's going to come. Don't bring up my past. Don't bring up the things that I'm hurting about. Don't bring up the wounds that I have. Jesus does. But I want you to think about this. We all want to be transparent and vulnerable, but transparency is not going to bring us to be vulnerable or insecure. We'll hide that at all costs. We'll hide that at all costs. Hey, man, you need to be transparent before, oh, yeah, man, this is who I am. But deep inside, we don't want to be vulnerable, and we're insecure. You don't touch a tender, hurting heart, but Jesus does. Why? Well, listen, he is going after that space that only he can heal. Jesus is going after that tender spot that she doesn't want anyone to touch, and yet it's the touch of Christ that brings healing. You guys tracking with me? He's the only one that can do this. Jesus looks at her, probably smiling. He's not intimidated by her. And he says, go call your husband. And what does she say? Notice, she's had five husbands. Five. And now she's living with a guy. You remember earlier I said some of us have made some bad choices that we're living in those choices, and the enemy has us pulled in the past and the consequences of those choices. I want to show you something, okay? I want to show you something maybe you hadn't seen. Jesus says, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. He goes, you said right. You've had five, and the guy you're living with is not your husband. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? At this point, I'm out of the conversation. I want to go home. I just want to go home. This hurts. How does he know this? But I want to take a moment to encourage us, and I want to share three reasons that maybe, just maybe, this is why she's not married to the current guy. Just maybe. You go, okay, cool. The Bible doesn't say, but what if her husbands all died? What if her husbands all died? What if all five of them died? Then you'd be like, man, she's killing somebody. I'm telling you right now, I need to warn the other brother. You know what I'm saying? In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.